Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, November 10th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Skol Vikings, my Minnesota Vikings, are playing a little later this afternoon. I'm recording this on Sunday morning, but no football talk today. We got a lot of wrestling to talk about, so let's go through topics and jump into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have a little bit different of a show, actually. We're going to talk a lot about the WWE ID program and the names that have been announced so far. So I'm going to go through everyone who's been signed to that WWE ID program, give some thoughts on each person that we know of so far, and that'll take a pretty good chunk of today's show, probably. Of course, we have a lot of results as well, but depending on how long it takes me to go through the ID prospects will also kind of dictate how fast I go through the results for everything else. But the results that we do have are as follows. We have the DDT and Defy show in utero that happened last night. There's another show tonight, but I'll save that for next weekend's results on the Weekender. Also have ICW NHB No Holds Barred Volume 65 that aired on IWTV last night as well. So we had DDT and Defy on Fight TV / well, now Thriller TV, and then ICW NHB on IWTV. We had NXT Level Up results, NWA Power results. I was planning on doing MLW Lucha Apocalypto results today, but the show was postponed. It was supposed to air last night on YouTube, on the MLW YouTube channel, but they wound up postponing it due to technical difficulties, so I'm going to give you some predictions for that show today instead. That show will be available tonight, by the way, or Sunday night, whenever you listen to this, but because I can't go over the results, I'll give you my predictions. Also, I have a lot of spoilers to close the show out today. We got TNA Impact spoilers and ROH Honor Club spoilers, so a kind of a different kind of mix today. Like I said, we're going to talk a lot about the WWE ID prospects, do some results, do some predictions, and do some spoilers. So as always, when it comes to the spoilers, I will make sure to put the timestamps in the description below, but I will make sure to do all the spoilers at the end of today's episode. So if you want to remain spoiler-free, it'll be easy for y'all to just cut the show off early. But if you want to stick around for those, I'll make sure to put the timestamps on the description right here for FightfulSelect.com. That said, let's jump right into the topics. All right, so we're going to start off, as I mentioned, with the WWE ID program. Last week, we talked about the existence of the program with it starting up, and there's still a lot of questions, you know, involved with exactly how this is going to work out, but we're getting some answers now a little bit. You know, people were unsure, you know, if you're at one of these approved schools, is that mainly where they're going to pull the prospects from? How's this going to work? Well, we know that these prospects at this point are coming from all over the place. We've gotten various social media posts from the WWE ID X account. They're doing kind of similar to, like, you know, how AEW does the All Elite graphics, you know, when somebody joins the company. They're doing prospect graphics on the WWE ID X account to announce a lot of these. Also doing some videos, like William Regal, for example, offering some deals as well. So pretty cool seeing how this has been rolling out so far. And as a matter of fact, as I'm recording this, they're making some breaking announcements too for more people that it looks like they're signing. I'm literally seeing this for the first time right now. So if there's more people that pop up as I'm recording this, I will try to keep this as up-to-date as possible. But part of the Weekender going forward, at least on weeks where we see a lot of activity when it comes to WWE ID, I'm going to cover all of these the best that I can as a part of the show on a regular basis, because a lot of these people, if not every single person that has been ID'd so far for this program, we have talked about on the Weekender. Some of these people we talk about every single weekend. Some of these people we've interviewed for the Spotlight, myself and Jeremy, over on the Fightful main channel and now over on Overbooked. So, I mean, if y'all want to check out these interviews and know more about these talents, you know, not to toot my own horn or anything like that. Nothing like that. But you know what I mean? I've been telling people for a long time, if you listen to the Weekender, it's a good place to find out about upcoming talent before the rest of the world does. And a lot of these people are very, very familiar to us for those of you who've been following this show. So I'm very happy. I'm proud that a lot of the people that we've been talking about are starting to, you know, get way more recognized on like a worldwide level. And they're just going to keep getting more and more, you know, more and more popular, get better. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, because I don't think that every single person that goes into the WWE ID program is necessarily going to be like a long-term WWE signee, but some of them definitely will. Others, they may use it as more of a launching point to get contracts with other companies down the line. Like, who knows how this stuff's going to work out overall, but everyone that they've mentioned so far, I think, could legitimately have a bright future in the WWE system. So I'm just going to go through the list of who we know so far and just give you some thoughts. So the first name we got here is Ada Steele. According to WWE ID, they say that she was scouted from Combat Zone Wrestling, of course, CZW. Her hometown is Washington, D.C. Lists her finishing move as the Unprettier, and she debuted in 2022. So a handful of these talents that they've announced so far are very, very new to wrestling, which is also interesting. Because we have like some people that, as we go through this, you'll hear the various length of time that everybody has been, their in-ring experience. I'll bring it up for everybody. But, like I said, it's just interesting. It's all over the place because you see some people that like Zeta, 2 years in the business. So the WWE found out about them very quickly and are very interested and want to, closely track their progress right away, which is great. Very, very cool. So as far as Zeta goes, she is 21 years old. And as far as, some things you may know about her that we've talked about, she's done some stuff in H2O. She recently had a match against Matt Tremont that we talked about for H2O. She's been a part of ETU, Expect the Unexpected. So, those are things. MLW, of course, we've talked about her with MLW. She's done quite a bit with MLW, actually. And the company that she's most tied to that we don't talk about on a regular basis here on the show is Marigold, but she is a regular staple of that company as well. Same with well, we'll get to everybody, but Marigold's a good spot that I could imagine they'll probably heavily be WWE's probably got their eyes on, let's put it that way, that company as far as a lot of the talent there. But Zeta Steele, somebody we talked about a lot. We just don't cover Marigold very often here on the Weekender, but obviously we cover H2O and ETU and MLW all the time. So, very happy for Zeta. Very cool to see her as a part of the program. Next name we got here, I'm gonna try to go in order by the announcements the best that I can. Next one we got here is Bryce Donovan. So Bryce Donovan, they say, has debuted in 2016. Finishing move is the Domiciles, the Death Valley Driver elbow drop. He is from Long Beach, New York, and they scouted him from Wrestling Open. Now, we've talked about him over the years a lot. He's been around for a while, 8 years of experience, according to Cage Match, and once again, WWE lists him as starting in 2016, so that lines up. You never know with Cage Match, right? It's not always accurate, but WWE and Cage Match lining up there, that's good to see. We mainly have talked about him as a part of the Shook Crew, which is him and Bobby Orlando, which is a great tag team that we've covered for years. As far as the companies that we normally talk about him with, Wrestling Open slash Beyond Wrestling, a lot of work there for quite some time. Also, Creative Pro. He was trained, by the way, let me double check here, but yeah, he was trained at Creative Pro. That's what I thought. I know he did Creative Pro shows, but he was trained at Creative Pro by Curt Hawkins, and Pat Buck. So, cool to see Bryce Donovan. I'm interested to see if Bobby Orlando joins ID program. And that's another thing too, is I don't know everyone's prerogatives. I have to imagine that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talents that are very excited and jump at the idea of like WWE ID offers them a deal. Immediately, they're like, I am in. I'm sure that there's also been others that haven't been interested that maybe have turned it down for various reasons, too. And I'm not saying that that's the case with Bobby Orlando. I'm just saying when I see one half of a tag team that I'm familiar with go somewhere, whether the other person's interested, not interested, whatever, the company is obviously aware of both people. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Orlando wound up being another person that we saw maybe as a part of the system. And if not, I'm interested to see kind of where his career goes. But the other thing is, it's one of those things where like we also don't know enough about the ID system to know how much it's going to actually affect anybody's indie careers or bookings, right? It might not change anything other than the WWE might help them with like travel and things here and there and exposure. And, if and when they're ready, it's like a really easy foot in the door to get signed full time or whatever you want to call it over to the WWE for the Performance Center, NXT Level Up, so on and so forth. But for all we know, nothing will change at all with, like, these talents as far as, like, how they've been booked, where they've been booked, and that kind of stuff. So, once again, this is all a very big work in progress that we're all trying to kind of figure out on the spot, kind of how this is all working out. Another company that I've seen Bryce Donovan compete in as well is Blitzkrieg, which I think he's done a great job in. So, excuse me. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in this WWID program. Once again, that is Bryce Donovan. After that, the next name we got is Cappuccino Jones. So this is someone I haven't talked about much on the weekend or over the years. Someone I'm familiar with, but he hasn't been around very long. They list him on ID as debuting in 2022. Finishing move is the Froggy Brew, also known as the Decaffeinator. Or maybe those are two separate moves. I'm honestly not sure because I haven't seen a lot of him. Like, I've seen him. I'm aware of him. But, you know, as far as, like, the companies he works in, we don't cover them often on the Weekender. Like, he's mainly out of Wrestling for a Cause. I've seen him in Action Clash for New South. But, you know, there's just CPW, MPX, you know, he just has been a bit off of our radar for the most part. But I have seen him a few times at New South's Action Clash events. You know, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. He got a lot of social media buzz for his announcement also. He might have the most likes on Twitter or X as far as, like, for an announcement. He's a great-looking guy, and what I've seen of him, he looks very athletic. He looks super charismatic. So I understand why the WWE's interested, and once again, this is another case of it's another case of the WWE seeing somebody and recognizing the talent super early. I mean, within 2 years of their career, already signed to a developmental deal here with the ID program. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that now that he's a part of this program, he starts popping up in more companies that we cover on the weekend or more often. Also worth noting that he has done some Ring of Honor stuff, but I think mainly in, like, enhancement role capacity. For instance, it says back in July of this year, he was a part of an 8-man tag match against the Cage of Agony, which I'd imagine was, I know it was a squash because the match was listed as 2 minutes and 30 seconds on Cage Match. So, that said, just want to see more of Jones and want to see more of him in more companies that we cover on a more regular basis so that I can just know more about the guy, get more familiar with his work, and the little bit that I've seen, I have been very impressed. All right, the next name I got here is one that you are very familiar with if you have been listening to the show or watching the spotlight. This is one of my favorite independent wrestlers in the entire world and a great human being, a guy that I really, really enjoy speaking with, a guy that I really, you know, he's a very positive guy in the world of wrestling and somebody that I've been pulling for really his whole career because I pretty much watched it all the way from, you know, the beginning to now. That is, of course, Jack Cartwheel, also listed here as Jack Summit. They say he was scouted from Game Changer Wrestling, hometown of Sacramento, California. Finishing move is, they listed as the Twisting Star Press. Yeah, he calls it the Jack Arrow. Y'all might know it as, you know, the Red Arrow or the Black Arrow. Pac uses it. But, you know, this, of course, we know him as Jack Cartwheel. Cool that they listed him as scouted from Game Changer Wrestling, because it's good to see GCW getting love on this list, because, you know, I do consider GCW to be the top independent promotion in the world. So, Jack Cartwheel obviously has gotten a lot of exposure in GCW. I mean, super, super talented guy. If you want to know more about Jack, we've interviewed him twice on the spotlight. I am trying to get him on again soon. You know, I don't know how that's going to work now, either with talents that I have relationships with, like, as far as if the ID program is going to limit how many podcasts they can do, who they can talk to, if it's going to change anything about that, I don't know. But I am trying to get more information about that because I would love to get some of these ID talents on the spotlight as soon as possible to talk about this stuff. But that said, Jack Cartwheel, not only from GCW, he is all over the place. I remember seeing him in a lot of the Texas promotions over the pandemic. Places like New Texas and I think Loco as well, he was popping up at. He's all over the place. So we've seen him on the West Coast, the East Coast, you know, once again, Texas, you know, in the middle of the country. He's all over the place. He goes worldwide. We've seen him in Ring of Honor a whole bunch of times. You know, the sky's the limit for this guy. I've been saying for years that they should have signed Jack Cargill. This might be what they wind up doing. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised at all if somebody out there listens to The Weekender that's making some of these decisions. I'm not saying, like, they're listening to this show and they're, like, taking my advice on exactly who to sign for this stuff. But a lot of these names are people we talk about all the time. And I've specifically said Jack Cargill. And then I'm only saying this because if it winds up happening, then, like, there's some questions that need to be asked, right? If Jack Cargill winds up going to the WWE and he winds up in Chase U, I'm just saying I've been calling for that literally for years. And y'all can vouch on that for me. I've been saying it on this show. I've said it on the Spotlight. I've said it on my old show that I did with Doug, Live Rounds. Yeah, so Jack Cargill, not surprised at all to see him on the list here. Super talented guy with a great look. Ultra athletic, ultra innovative. I think could have a very, very bright future in the WWE. So congratulations to Jack Cargill. And once again, if you want to know more about him, check out the interviews me and Jeremy have done with him for the Spotlight. Because, as I mentioned, not only a great in-ring wrestler, but a great human being as well. And somebody who, like, when we asked him about why he likes to do cartwheels so much and why he's made so much of his gimmick cartwheels, first off, his real last name, I believe, is Cartwright. So, you know, Cartwright, Cartwheel, that works out really well. But outside of that, his thing is, like, cartwheels just make people happy. Like, how could you be sad seeing people doing cartwheels or doing cartwheels yourself, you know? And it seems like such a simple thing, but it really makes a lot of sense. Like, he finds stuff that people enjoy, that people can relate to, and has implemented it great in his wrestling career up to this point. So, once again, congratulations to Jack Cargill on being ID'd for the WWE ID program. As I mentioned, I legitimately think I don't want to say, like, him, you know, compared to others, because there are some other names on this list that I think are going to do really, really well that I'm about to be talking about and that I already have talked about. But Jack Cargill is a guy that everybody's known for a while. Once the right eyes get on him, once he has enough experience, he is definitely going to be someone who's wrestling at that next level. And it makes sense the WWE has eyes on him and he's a part of this program. Next, we have Zara Zacher, who is also ultra talented. They say she was scouted from Millennium Pro Wrestling, MPW. Hometown is San Diego, California. Her debut was in 2023. So, I mean, that's super, super recent, right? I mean, technically less than 2 years, which is just unreal. Her finisher is Control Z, also known as the Petite Powerhouse as a nickname. She can do a little bit of everything. I mean, we've seen her, like, even just recently, she had that match with Masha Slamovich at GCW. That was just, like, within the last couple weeks. And there were some spots in that match where I was like, oh, man, she is ultra-talented. And once again, she's only been wrestling for, like, less than 2 years. She had this spot in the match where she did, like, a back handspring reversal out of something into an enziguri that I remember. It was something like that. And I was just remember being really impressed, like, okay, that was a really sweet mixture of, you know, athleticism mixed in with, you know, some great kind of striking, you know what I mean? Just a really hybrid style. I've also seen a lot of her work at places like West Coast Pro, where she's currently the West Coast Pro Women's Champion. She just won that title, as a matter of fact, just like a month or so ago. But we've seen a lot of her work out of West Coast Pro. She's super, super talented. Seen some of herself out of Tokyo, TJPW, seen her wrestle on those West Coast Pro DPW Prestige crossover shows. I'd seen her at Loco Wrestling as well. Speaking of, you know, I was talking about, like, the Houston-based wrestling in Texas that I'd seen Jack Cargill from. I'd seen her there as well. So, you know, just wild. And from, according to Cage Match, her background is in cheerleading, and that actually makes perfect sense. Like, it makes sense because of the way that I've seen her flip around, but also, like, the power that she has. Cheerleading is a super valuable type of sport for pro wrestling. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? But some people might not understand why that connection would be made. But, I mean, it takes, obviously, a ton of athleticism, choreography, timing, everything, skill to be able to do cheerleading. I know, like, nothing about cheerleading. This is just, like, surface level, from the outside looking in stuff, it's, like, pretty obvious. But on top of that, like, you gotta be very strong. Like, I mean, your shoulders, your arms, your legs, your core. I mean, everything's got to be super strong. And a lot of those cheerleaders are also like lifting people up constantly over their heads and holding them steady and manipulating body weight. That's another thing too that's like probably the least talked about, is just the being able to manipulate people's body weight, like shifting people on your body while you're holding them in like weird positions when like they might be like, you know, top heavy because of a certain way they're leaning. So you have to totally adjust the way you're holding someone. You have to adjust the way your feet are. So it's one of those things where it's like a great transition into wrestling because you have to do so many of those same things. It's all about protecting the person you're working with. Similar in cheerleading, when you're throwing somebody up in the air and they're spinning a whole bunch and they're trusting you to catch them on the way down and, you know, everything to be safe. Wrestling, that's a lot of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Jack Hartwell that he was just talking about, I believe his background was in gymnastics. And I don't know if he did cheerleading or not. I honestly can't remember. But as I talked about before, if he winds up in Chase U, my idea for years has been for him to be basically the cheerleader, like the male cheerleader of Chase U, and come out there doing cartwheels and hyping the crowd up. And then all of a sudden when he gets in the ring, you see him, you know, he's like the same kind of like upbeat, happy guy that you normally see and that you're like used to as a character. But he's also able to like pull off these mind-blowing moves and incorporate cartwheels into stuff. And that's, you know, I say this all to say, you know, Zara, I think, is also somebody capable of being super innovative. And for somebody who's only been in the business for less than 2 years, once again, WWE was very smart, I think, to see the talent very fast and to not wait on it, right? You know, you see the talent, you have this new system, but see how it goes, you know? So, very, very excited to see what happens with Zara Zacher. But she's been trained by a lot of really great people that I really respect, like Fred Rosser, Kushida, Jordan Cruz. Jordan Cruz doesn't get enough love, but Jordan Cruz was one of her trainers. B-Boy was one of her trainers, and B-Boy is an absolute legend. If y'all don't know about B-Boy, go back and get, you know, familiar with B-Boy. I was lucky enough to see a run that he had on the indies just a few years back, that he pretty much became like a staple of like the Southeast for a while. And he was doing shows at Southern Underground Pro and SCI and Action and stuff like that. And excuse me. And B-Boy has more respect from that locker room than maybe anyone I've ever seen. As far as like the people that I know that worked with him that were in those locker rooms, a lot of mutual friends and stuff. And just, you just always hear nothing but glowing things about B-Boy. A lot of them call him Uncle Benny behind the scenes and stuff. So anyways, really cool. Another great signing for the ID program. Next name we got here is Sean Legacy. Sean Legacy's hometown is Augusta, Georgia. He's not too far away from me. They scouted him from PWR, aka Pro Wrestling Revolution, and they saw him during a NOAH tryout, apparently. He debuted in 2017. His finishing move is the Shambles / 450 Splash. And Sean Legacy has been around for a while as well. He's another guy who's been around for 8 years. So once again, a big mix. We have some people around for a year, 2 years, and then some people from, you know, 8 years. As far as companies, as I mentioned, you know, WWE saying from PWR and the NOAH trial. But I mainly know him from stuff in the Southeast. Like, he's been a regular part of Action Wrestling recently. We've talked about him a lot. He's also done stuff with SCI, but the main thing that I know him from is the Buff and Fluff Connection, Cody Fluffman and Sean Legacy, that have been teaming mainly in Action Wrestling. And, you know, Cody Fluffman is like an anomaly. He's this guy who, to me, he like came out of nowhere and he's super different, right? Like, the way that he wrestles, the way that he looks, like, he's a super unique talent, and he got over in Action incredibly fast and well-deserved. Like, he was a guy who, almost similar to like a, you know, someone like Bobby Flacco, who's currently the Action champion, the crowd took to Bobby right away, and he really earned his way to that world championship. The crowd immediately took to Cody Fluffman. And I can say the same for Sean Legacy, but Sean Legacy, much more of like the prototypical who you would expect the WWE to be interested in. He's got a great look, looks like a, you know, just looks like a star in a top wrestling promotion before he's even been in one. You know what I mean? He's got great talent as well. And I'd be interested, like I said, because I've seen these two guys team up so much. I've also seen Sean Legacy do, plenty of stuff on his own as well. But, I mainly know him from the tag team. And if I know him from the tag team, the WWE is at least in, let me put it this way. There's no way that he's the only person that wrestles for Action Wrestling on a regular basis that they're looking at. So that makes me really, really excited as somebody who is a supporter of Action Wrestling and, a company that we cover every weekend here pretty much. And we've interviewed so many of their talents for the spotlight. We've interviewed their promoters like Matt Griffin and people who help out with those, the sister promotions as well, like Scott Hensley and so many others. And John Mosley is the commentator for Action. He's been on the spotlight more than probably anybody. This kind of stuff is just really, really cool for me as a fan to see, because not only am I happy, incredibly happy for Sean Legacy, it means that there could be more from these companies that I am super, super attached to. And I wouldn't be surprised if we heard more names that we talk about often from Action Wrestling, because there's so much great talent that works there on a regular basis. Sean Legacy, of course, being one of them. So very cool, very excited to see how Sean Legacy looks in the WWE ID program, and congratulations to him on getting the offer. That's awesome. All right, the next names we got here. So these both came at the same time yesterday. These were actually both offers from William Regal that were done through X Videos. So this was really cool seeing this presentation. First name we're going to mention right here and talk about, we got Marcus Mathers. Marcus Mathers, they say he was scouted from GCW. His hometown is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Debuted in 2019, so he's been around now for like 5, 6 years. Finisher is a top rope 450 splash. Nickname is Philly's Finest. And Marcus Mathers, of course, is a staple of Game Changer Wrestling, but he's also big time in ETU, major champion for them. He's been all over the place. I mean, he's been one of the top IWTV contenders as far as like top names that are across those platforms and that could be up next potentially even for IWTV champion. Like, there's a very short list of names of people that think could realistically beat Cruel for that title at some point, and Marcus Mathers is one of the few names that gets brought up. And he was actually brought up by Cruel himself when me and Jeremy interviewed Cruel recently for the spotlight. Marcus Mathers' name did come up as, one of the top guys, of course. And Mathers is someone we've been covering for a long time already, it feels like, because I started doing the Weekender. It's been like 6 years to this month, I believe. I'll have to double check. Might have been December, but I think it was December of 2018. So, for the last like 5 years or so, 5 to 6 years, we've been talking about Marcus Mathers, and he's part of that Brat Pack. Billy Starks, Marcus Mathers, Nick Wayne, Starboy Charlie, these super young talents that kind of took over the indie scene over the last few years and were like way more, they were like, excuse me, they were like way talented beyond their years, if that makes sense. And they were all people that you knew were all eventually going to make it big. I mean, Billy Starks and Nick Wayne, of course, are already in AEW slash Ring of Honor. Marcus Mathers now getting ID'd from the WWE. And he's one of the best in-ring workers in the world. He really is. And he's somebody like, oh, I didn't even mention H2O. Like, he was trained at H2O. He's trained by Matt Tremont. I know a ton of his work from H2O. That's mainly where I discovered him through, was H2O. And he's been, champion there, of course, as well. But yeah, I mean, when I found out about this ID system, literally one of the first names that came to mind for me was Marcus Mathers, and it's not surprising at all that he's a part of this. And I mean that obviously as a testament to this kid's talent. And he's not even really a kid anymore. I've watched literal kids turn to teens, turn to adults in front of my eyes over the years. Marcus Mathers is one of those. And so it's somebody that I'm very much looking forward to seeing the future for him. I think he's going to be a long-term major, major, major star in professional wrestling. It's just a matter of like if it's long-term forever in the WWE or if he winds up a star elsewhere after the ID program. I don't know, but wherever it is, he's going to be a massive star in wrestling. Everyone has known that honestly, really since like his debut. I know that sounds crazy, but I remember some of his first matches, and even then, people being like, it makes no sense that this kid is this good so quickly, and he just keeps getting better. So, congratulations to Marcus Mathers on getting ID'd, because, like I said, when this program was announced last week, if you had me write down five names of people that I think were the most likely to get become a part of the system, Marcus Mathers would have definitely been in my top five on that list. Also, this one's huge. So, next thing we got here is Sam Holloway, aka Hardway Holloway. They list him from Akron, Ohio, scouted from International Wrestling Cartel, aka IWC. He debuted in 2022, so he's only got like 2 years of experience, and his finisher is a choke bomb, basically a sit-out choke slam. So, Hardway Holloway, we've talked about for the last 2 years here on this show, and I've really been talking about him a lot more often recently because he did just become the IWC Super Indy Champion, went through that tournament recently, won that title. He's got some big storylines going on there, and I knew him from AIW. He was trained by guys like Dominic Guarini at Absolute Intense Wrestling. And I talked about it in recent weeks where y'all who follow this show will know, but I want to say like a month or so ago, when we were covering some of Holloway's matches, I looked on Cage Match because I was like, man, how long has he been around for now? Because this guy is like insanely good, and he's a big dude who can really move around. Like, he's a guy that it makes total sense that WWE would be interested in him so quickly. It makes all the sense in the world. But I remember looking and being like, 2 years? I was like, there's no way this guy's only been around for 2 years. And then like you look into it and it's like, holy cow. This guy has the talent and carries himself and wrestles like a guy who's been around for a decade. You know what I mean? And he's still a young guy. This is going to be a bold statement, but I'm going to say it. Sam Holloway will be a major star in the WWE, and he will be a champion in the WWE within, if he stays in the, I don't know how this ID system is going to work once again, but he's one of these guys who checks literally every box you would want out of a WWE superstar. The only thing that I don't know of as much is like mic skills, but that can be taught, and that can be, and that's not to say he isn't good at it. I don't know much about his mic work, just to be completely honest. I've mainly just seen his matches, and some of the storyline stuff that he's done has been more so like him helping beat down people, not so much on the microphone from what I've heard. So it's one of those things where like, even if he, let's just say mic skills aside, because you can learn that, you can get better at that, you can improve whatever, and you could also get a manager or a mouthpiece if you need to also, based on just the potential of Hardway Holloway. I'm talking look, athletic ability, how insanely fast he's gotten this good, and the people that he's trained, the people that he's worked with, the people that are vouching for him. This guy is going to be a long-term, gigantic success story in the WWE, in my opinion. And like I said, he will be a champion in the company within, I can't say he's going to be like the WWE champion right away or something like that, but he's a guy who I'm telling you right now has the potential of being a world title level guy based on just like the raw potential in this guy. And I would not, y'all know me who listen to this, I do not say this kind of stuff lightly. I would not say this about just anybody, but I really think that Holloway, of everybody that I've mentioned, and for different reasons, right? I think Jack Cartwheel and Zara Zacher and everyone I've mentioned, like, all have a ton of potential. Marcus Mathers have a ton of potential to be massive stars. But of everyone I mentioned up to this point, I think Hardway Holloway has the best chance to be like a WWE lifer and be a top star there on a consistent level. Once he gets over and like hits a certain level, I don't think there's going to be any looking back for this guy. I honestly think that highly of him. And once again, a big part of it is that he's only been doing this for 2 years, and I'm saying this kind of stuff about him. I mean, imagine how good he's going to be in this ID program, and then with WWE eyes on him and WWE mentoring him and getting reps in the PC and getting reps in front of people like Shawn Michaels, keeping their eye on him and stuff like that. It's going to be like, in like 5 years from now, this guy's going to be one of the biggest stars in wrestling. Just mark my words. And then what's crazy is there was another announcement right as I was starting to record this. So another talent has been ID'd. We have, it's Gal, G-A-L, Gal, from scouted from Wrestling Open. Hometown is Mount Olympus. Debuted in 2020, so only been wrestling for like 4 years. And the finishing move is the Striations Bomb. I might be saying that wrong. Striations? I don't know a ton about Gal, but what I do know is he's from Israel. I'm almost positive he's from Israel. And we've seen him a little bit on shows like Wrestling Open and Beyond Wrestling. Now, full disclosure, I haven't been covering Beyond as much recently, and I explained the reasons why a few weeks ago. I'll probably get more back into that because there's a ton of great talent on those shows, and I don't want to let some, in my opinion, boneheaded storylines that I don't agree with get in the way with that completely, because there is such great talent there. As a matter of fact, Gal had had a match with Fancy Ryan Clancy recently that I thought was really good. You know, so I don't want to harp on all that too much. I will say I'm mainly familiar with Gal through Beyond Wrestling and Wrestling Open, and what I have seen, I am very impressed. Has a great look and adds once again some like international flavor. Because as I mentioned, yeah, it's saying on Cage Match he's from Tel Aviv, Israel. I wanted to double check that, but I was pretty sure he was Israeli. And the in-ring experience has 6 years on here, which matches up with what I saw on the ID program. So, good stuff. I mean, this one came out of nowhere only because I was literally recording this show and this just popped up on X as I was recording. So if there's more names that pop up, I will probably miss them today. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, a big part of this Weekender pod going forward will probably be covering the ID prospects and their signings. But I don't expect there to be, you know, 6, 7, 10 of these every week. We might get like one or two maybe fairly consistently, but there's a big rush of these happening right now, obviously, with so many of these being announced right after the actual program was put together and announced. So that is everyone that we have up to this point. I'm very happy for everybody, very excited. I think they made really great choices, and I wish them all luck, and I would imagine that there's some other big ones that are coming up that we're going to really have a good time talking about. So that is WWE ID. And we'll move on to some results. The first set of results we've got is DDT Pro and Defy Wrestling In Utero. This show took place last night on November 9th from Washington Hall in Seattle, Washington. This was available on Triller TV Plus. So as a part of their monthly subscription, not endorsed or sponsored to tell y'all to sign up for their service, but I do think it is great, a great service every month. You know, all the stuff that you get over there on that platform, Troller TV Plus, is where you can watch this DDT Pro and Fire Wrestling show, as well as a lot of their events, including the one that's going to be taking place later tonight, as I mentioned at the top of the show. I'll be covering that on next weekend's edition of the Weekender. As far as this show goes, the first match we had was Gringo Loco over Uni. Finish here was a base bomb for the 1-2-3. After that, it's going to be kind of hard to explain explain the kind of what happened the next technically three matches, but we had the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal Championship on the line. Now, for those of you familiar with this title, this is basically a hardcore championship 24/7 rules with this title. So what winds up happening is the champion, Danshuko Dino, is coming out to the ring, and one of the things that he does, that he's known for, is he walks around and he kisses fans around the ring before the match actually starts. While he's doing this, Randy Myers comes up behind him and rolls him up with a schoolboy 1-2-3. So Randy Myers becomes the champion before the match even happens. But then they wind up actually having the match. So we now have Randy Myers defending the title against Dino. Dino winds up winning the title when Yoshihiko interferes to make it a triple threat match. And Yoshihiko, I'll do my best to kind of explain what happens here. So Yoshihiko, and if you are unfamiliar with the Yoshihiko, it's a life-size doll, essentially, that, you know, if you know Yoshihiko, you know. If you don't, I'd recommend checking out what I'm talking about. Otherwise, none of this is going to make any sense. But essentially, Yoshihiko makes a triple threat match, does like an around-the-world Rana onto Randy Myers, and Dino is up in the corner with like his ass out, and it's like something he's known to do. Once again, another spot that I can't really do justice. You kind of have to see it to understand what I'm talking about. But basically, Randy Myers goes ass first into Dino and then gets rolled up by Dino for the 1-2-3. After this happens, Yoshihiko immediately chokes out Dino to become the champion. So we had Dino lose the title to Myers before the match. Then we had the actual match where Dino wins the title back from Myers, but then Yoshihiko winds up leaving as the champion. after choking out Dino with a rear naked choke. And Myers tries to win the title from Yoshihiko after the match, hits him with angel's wings or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but hits him with a nice move, and Yoshihiko kicks out at two, and then the three of them wind up actually just fighting to the back. So as of right now, Yoshihiko is the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal Champion, which Yoshihiko has been many, I can't even tell you how many title reigns they have had, but that title belt is synonymous with Yoshihiko. After that, we had Nick Wayne over Jack Cartwheel. Obviously, I've talked about both these guys a little bit already on the show, talking about Nick Wayne, of course, being a part of AEW, and Jack Cartwheel now a part of the WWE ID system. The finish of this one was a Wayne's World, his version of the Clout Cutter, the corner os cutter, but y'all know it as Wayne's World for the 1-2-3. After the match, Nick Wayne gave some encouraging words to Jack Cartwheel. The two of them showed signs of respect. So even though Nick Wayne, of course, a heel on AEW TV, he's a very beloved figure in Defy Wrestling especially, and obviously gave his well wishes to Jack with the news of him being part of the ID. After that, we had a triple threat tag team match for the Defy Tag Team Championships. We had C4, the team of Cody Chun and Guillermo Rosas, defend and retain their titles over Brian Keith and Shota, as well as the Midnight Express team of Eddie Pearl and Ricky Gibson. The finish of this one was, I don't know what C4 calls the move, but I always call it the You Can't See Me bomb. But basically, the setup that John Cena uses to put his opponent onto the ground before he does the whole five-knuckle shuffle thing, basically, it's like a combination of that move with a power bomb. So it's like a double team You Can't See Me power bomb with a power bomb that was done by C4 onto Shota and gets the 1-2-3. After the match, Brian Keith winds up basically shoving away Shota and leaves his partner in the dust. And of course, Brian Keith, I'm sure most of y'all know at this point from AEW as, well, we knew him as the bounty hunter on the indies before he made AEW, and now of course the Bad Apple Brian Keith, along with Chris Jericho and Big Bill in the Learning Tree. After that, we had Defy Women's World Championship on the line. Marina Shafir, who of course y'all know is a part of the Death Riders on AEW TV right now, Marina defends and retains her championship over Danica De La Rogue. The finish of this one was the Mother's Milk submission, forcing the tap out to retain the championship. After that, we had the Bollywood Boys, the Shearer Brothers, defeating, Sasuke and Artemis Spencer. So once again, that was Bollywood Boys over Sasuke and Artemis Spencer. The finish of this one was the backbreaker top rope elbow drop combination. I don't know if I've ever known the name of their finishing move, but I've seen him do it 1,000 times, and I probably say it every time I see him do it. But y'all know the move I'm talking about. Y'all are all familiar with the Bollywood Boys backbreaker top rope elbow drop 1-2-3. After that, we had Konosuke Takeshita, who of course y'all know is the AEW International Champion, one of the top stars in wrestling right now. Takeshita defeats Konoshita. The finish of this one was a second rope Falcon Arrow by Takeshita for the 3 count. And the main event of the show, we had a triple threat match for the DDT Universal Championship. We had Miyu Yamashita defeat Mao, who came in as the champion, and Speedball Mike Bailey to become the new champ. Speedball and Mao, of course, are a longtime tag team, and I've seen them wrestle each other together as a team and against each other in many matches as well. And they have a great chemistry with one another, always have great performances, whether once again teaming or against each other. No different in this one. This was a great match, and of course, Yamashita is killing it as well everywhere she's at. The finish of this one was the Skull Kick by Yamashita, which is her version of the Black Mass, or, spinning kick, whatever you want to call it. She calls it the Skull Kick, or at least that's how I believe she refers to it as. That's what I think most people call it as for her, is the Skull Kick. She hits that on Speedball and pins him. So Mao does not get pinned to lose a championship, but because it is triple threat rules, Yamashita pinning Speedball, and she is the new champion. After the match, Gringo Loco comes out, who had won in the opening match, and Nick Wayne, who had also defeated Jack Cartwheel during the show. They both come out and confront Yamashita, and that's setting up a three-way title match for the show that's going to be happening after I record this. So once again, that is DDT and Defy's In Utero. Of course, I know that phrase, that term, as a Nirvana album cover, or Nirvana album title, I should say. I remember the cover as well from the 90s, but with the close ties to, Defy Wrestling, this was in Washington Hall. I'd imagine that's the tie-in there, of course, with the Nirvana tie-in there. So all really cool, great show. A lot of stuff, a variety show in a lot of ways, too. A little bit of everything, but a lot of great wrestling as well. And I'm looking forward to the show tonight. As I mentioned, I will cover that next week on The Weekender. Moving on, we have results for ICW No Holds Barred Volume 65. I'm going to do quick results for this one for the sake of time. So I'm just going to give you the winners and losers. We had this show available, by the way. It aired live last night at independentwrestling.tv. As of the time of this recording, it's not available to watch on demand, but I'm sure that it's going to be available really soon. They're really quick on the turnaround for these. So you can check this out using code FIGHTTALK at independentwrestling.tv. If you use that code, it just gives them a heads up that it sent you their way. I appreciate when you all use that code. This show was from last night on November 9th, 2024, from Cambridge, Massachusetts. And this is ICW NHB, Volume 65. We had Malcolm Monroe III over Gabriel Sky. We had Jimmy Lloyd over Cody Manhorn. Also worth mentioning that Cody Manhorn wound up refereeing a Shiny Shoes after having a death match. So that's pulling double duty. I've talked about Cody a lot on this show, and we've talked about on the Spotlight. He's another guy I should probably reach out to try to get a Spotlight interview with soon. He's going to be heading to Japan soon as well, which I know is a big bucket list thing for him. So very cool. And y'all know I love a different effing boy, Jimmy Lloyd, a.k.a. Broski Jimmy. We had Tommy Vendetta over Little Mean Kathleen in a death match. But the Jimmy Lloyd Manhorn match was a death match as well. We had another death match where the Bev Bobby Beverly defeated Dr. Redacted. We had the Hoodfoot over Otis Kogar in a death match. A really nice Ghostbuster through glass by Hoodfoot in this one. And in the main event, we had the ICW American Deathmatch World Title on the line. Atticus Kogar defends and retains over Homicide. This was, to my understanding, Homicide, I think, is kind of like, I don't know if he's going to like retire or if he's just kind of doing like a tour right now where he's just hitting a lot of cities that he's not sure if he's going to be able to keep wrestling in, just because, he has been at it for a long time. Obviously, Homicide, a legitimate legend in the world of wrestling, and more specifically in the world of independent wrestling for sure. And in this one, Danny DeMonto returned to ICW, which was a big deal. Also, Atticus had help from Otis, his brother. So, it took like three people to take down Homicide in the main event. But yeah, I wish I could elaborate on this one a little bit more. But, for the sake of time, we're just going to leave it at that. But y'all know I love ICW and HB. I think that they put on great shows. And you can check out their whole catalog of events over on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. Moving on, got some quick results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on November 8th, 2024, available on the WWE Network, and we had two matches in this one. First one was Danny Palmer over Kaylee Armstrong. The finish here was Palmer hitting a really nice, it was like a corkscrew moonsault. I'm not sure if she has a name for it yet, but I remember when she was doing the frog splash, she would do the frog splash lowdown style, like D'Lo Brown, which I always like that version of the frog splash off the top. But she's recently switched it to the twisting corkscrew, like moonsault. I'm actually looking on the WWE website right now on the Level Up results just to see what they called it. They're calling it a twisting corkscrew. It's literally it's a moonsault off the top with like a 360 twist. So maybe not 360 twist, I guess technically a 180 twist moonsault. But it's really nice. She nailed it. So, Danny Palmer with the win over Armstrong in the opener. And then the only other match we had was a six-person tag team match where Cutler James, Dion Lennox, and Shiloh Hill defeated Gallus in a six-person tag, as I mentioned. Gallus, of course, being Wolfgang and the Coffey Brothers. The finish of this one was Joe Coffey hitting All the Best for the Bells onto Cutler James, and right when that happens, Dion Lennox rolls up Coffey and gets the 1-2-3. So, big big win for Cutler James, Deion Lennox, and Shiloh Hill over a really established team in Gallus, a team that's been around for, I mean, years and years now. They were one of the main stables of the original NXT UK when the brand first started up, you know, and they're still a group to this day. You know, we followed that whole NXT UK show from start to finish the entire time it existed here on The Weekender. And towards the end of it, they were kind of like pulling Gallus apart. And, you know, it looked like they were going to start focusing potentially on Mark Coffey as more of a singles guy, because, you know, Joe Coffey was really the main focus of the group, and Mark and Wolfgang were the tag team that, you know, really successful as well. But it looked like they were going to go more with Mark and towards like the Heritage Cup and that kind of stuff. And then the brand just ended. And then it seemed like they just kind of put Gallus back together, you know, as a group going forward with NXT and everything, which I don't necessarily dislike, because I think that they are a great group together. But it was interesting seeing, you know, the newer crop of guys like Shiloh, Deion, and Cutler getting the win over them. So I feel like they've got plans for all three of them, and I'm interested to see what happens for Gallus going forward. But nonetheless, that was NXT Level Up. As I mentioned, I've been watching off of WWE Network lately. I do not know what the future of the show looks like as far as where it's going to be distributed. I'm assuming at some point it'll all be available on CW, but that's a whole topic in itself, the CW app and website. And it was way easier for me personally to watch this stuff just right off of Hulu. So that's just me, but, you know, that's a whole other conversation in itself, as I mentioned. Speaking of CW, a show that was pretty annoying to watch on CW when it was on CW, we have NWA Power. That's going to be my next set of results here. These shows are now on X, so that's the place to watch right now is the former Twitter. You go on X onto NWA's X account, and that's where you can watch these full shows for NWA Power. The episode that we're going to give the results for right now was taped on October 5th, but it aired on November 5th. And this was from the WEDU studios in Tampa, Florida. These are the results. We had Carson Drake over Brian Idol in the opener. The finish here was the referee being distracted by wrist tape, and they're throwing the wrist tape out of the ring. As they're turned around and distracted, Carson Drake reaches into his trunks, grabs a set of brass knuckles, and knocks out Brian Idol and pins him 1-2-3. After that, we had Hollywood, Haley J, and Tiffany Nieves over Pretty Empowered, the team of Kylie Page and Kenzie Page. This is a big win for Haley J and Tiffany here. Haley J, if y'all want to know like way more about her, she was a big part of that Netflix documentary for OVW last year. The Ohio Valley Wrestling documentary that was like, you know, Al Snow was like kind of the main character of it. She was like kind of the main character as far as like wrestlers for the whole thing. So very interesting person. And you know, getting a big win here, she winds up getting the pin. What winds up happening is essentially there's like a pinfall broken up towards the end of the match. And as there's kind of chaos, people like getting thrown out of the ring, Kylie Page is kind of distracted by it, and Haley J hits her with the schoolgirl roll up and pins her. So Haley J with the pin on Kylie Page in the tag team match. After that, we had Slade with Ronda Freeman in his corner over Bose. The finish of this one was Slade hitting the Slade Slam, which is like his running air raid crash for the three count. I forgot to mention, but right before this match, there was a backstage segment, an interview segment, where Kyle Davis is interviewing the Southern Six, and they start beating him up, and then Colby Carino tries to make the save, but the Southern Six beats him up as well. We find out at the end of the show that there's a tag team match set up for next week. It's going to be Kyle Davis and Colby Carino versus the Southern Six. The next match we had was the NWA World TV title on the line. Maxi Impaler, with Father James Mitchell in their corner, defends and retains over Mr. Grimm. This was a pretty quick one, too. I thought it was going to be more competitive back and forth, but a lot of these were really quick matches. Like, the opener, every match of the show was, like, 3 to 5 minutes long. This one being in, like, the 3 to 4 minute range. Maxi Impaler winds up choking out Mr. Grimm with a sleeper hold. So they choke out Mr. Grimm, referee calls it, and Maxi Impaler retains their TV title. And the main event of the show, we had the Liberty Bell Brawl tag team match, which was a ladder match with a Liberty Bell hanging above the ring, and the winner had to ring it 3 times. So we had the Immortals, the team of Odinson and Kratos, over the team of Blunt Force Trauma, the team of Carnage and Damage, along with Aaron Stevens on the outside. The finish of this one saw Aaron Stevens get involved. He tries to climb the ladder himself. Odinson hits him with a really nice pounce across the ring. And then Odinson climbs the ladder while Kratos is holding it for him for balance and rings the bell 3 times. The Immortals defeat Blunt Force Trauma. Once again, that was NWA Power. You can watch it for free on the National Wrestling Alliance X. Moving on, got some predictions. This is going to be MLW Major League Wrestling Lucha Apocalypto. It's going to be some quick predictions for this show. As I mentioned, this was supposed to be last night for free on the MLW YouTube channel. Due to technical difficulties, they're moving it to tonight, so it'll be after, you know, after I record this, obviously. I'll give you the full recap on next week's edition of The Weekender. But as far as predictions go, since, you know, I said I wanted to do the results because it's impossible to do that, so I'm just going to give you my quick predictions on what I know should be on the show, and it should be for free once again on the MLW YouTube channel tonight. We got Kevin Knight and Esfinge versus Ultimo Guerrero and Hechicero. I'm going to take the Kevin Knight team in that one. We got Alex Kane versus BRG in a chain match. I'm going to actually take BRG because of the push that they're given in the Rogue Horseman and everything. I'm gonna actually say BRG. I'm a big Alex Kane fan. I've interviewed him. I'm a big supporter of his. I watch him all over the place. I watch him in the Southeast and Action Wrestling and all over the place. And obviously, MLW, he's absolutely killed it, former MLW champion. But I feel like they're pushing BRG. I'm going to actually take BRG in that one. And it's a surprise. Kind of a big upset in a lot of people's opinions. We've got the MLW World Featherweight Championship on the line. I am going to take Jinai Kai to win that one and retain and leave as the featherweight champion. It's a triple threat. We got a Falls Count Anywhere match where Bad Dude Tito is defending against Matthew Justice. Because it's Falls Count Anywhere, I'm actually going to take Matthew Justice. He had recently signed an MLW contract. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Bad Dude Tito, though. So, like, I like his title run. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, I don't want it to end necessarily, but Matthew Justice, especially in the Falls Count Anywhere environment, I think he's going to do something crazy. He's going to dive off a scaffold, and, you know, it's going to be fun to watch, I'm sure. So I'm going to actually take Matthew Justice in that one, become the new openweight champion. We have a trios match, Star Jr., Atlantis Jr., and Atlantis versus Caverano, Magnus, and Felino. I'm going to take the Star Jr. Atlantis team in that one. And the main event, I believe, will be for the middleweight championship. We got Mystico defending against Titan and Averno. I'm taking Mystico in that one, especially coming off of the Opera Cup tournament win. Mystico all day. So those are my predictions for MLW Lucha Apocalypto. That'll be available once again for free on the MLW YouTube channel. And let's go ahead and do some quick spoilers, and we will get on out of here. We're going to start off with Impact spoilers. I think there are, yeah, 2 nights of Impact results that I've got here. So I'll put the timestamp in the description below. And spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. All right. We've got Impact Wrestling spoilers 2 nights. I got 2 different sources here, so I'm hoping all this is accurate. But I haven't seen these, like, mass, you know, printed all over the place yet, just a few places. So I'll do my best and I'll give credit where I can. So Impact spoilers starting off with Night 1 results, which I am reading via bodyslam.net. They are courtesy of TNAAsylum.net and Lucha Doncic. These will be for upcoming episodes of TNA Impact and Explosion. We got Xia Brookside over Maggie Moore. This is Mike Santana comes out and talks about how he's going after the TNA world title, and he single-handedly defeated the system. Santana is interrupted by Frank Kazarian, says he's the king of TNA and runs Everything runs through him. Reiner comes out and gores Frankie, setting up a match. We have Frank Kazarian win that match over Reiner. It says, before the match started, Joe Hendry came out and debuted a director's cut of his song, trashing Ryan Nemeth. And then we had Joe Hendry over Ryan Nemeth. We had Kushida over Conan Lycan. Mike Santana over Casey Navarro. Rosemary over Jada Stone. TNA World Champion Nick Nemeth defeats Brian Myers. We had Hammerstone, Jake Something, and Trent Seven over Ace Austin and the Hardys. It says Danny Luna versus Heather by Elegance, but it says JDC and Moose defeat. I don't have a result there, I guess. But after that, it says JDC and Moose defeats Leon Slater and Laredo Kid, and Jody Threat defeated Ash by Elegance. We have PCO and Sami Callihan over the Good Hands. It says post-match, a mysterious graphic appears on the video screen, has the numbers 23 displayed. We had Joe Hendry, Nick Nemeth, and Masha Slamovic over Tasha Steelz and first-class combination of Casey Navarro and AJ Francis. The Northern Armory team of Sinner, Saint, and Josh Alexander defeat Eric Young, Steve Macklin, and Jonathan Gresham. And the Rascals defeat Jake Crist and Alan Angels. Says the system introduces their new championship rings. All right, so that was the first night of results, and then the second night I'm pulling up right now. I believe these, I'm not reading these off bodyslam.net, but I am seeing these, I believe, off of the same TNA Asylum. So, but I've seen these like kind of curated from some various sites. These are the spoilers that I've got for yesterday, 11/9/24. They seem pretty accurate based on what I've seen from, they seem pretty consistent. So, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you what I've got, but, you know, don't take these spoilers as gospel. I just haven't seen them as kind of like, once again, mass produced as I normally do by this time. But I got spoilers for 11/9/24, and it says there was a TNA World Tag Team Knockouts match where Spitfire defeats a team, but it's an unnamed team. We have the Good Hands over Alan Angel and Jake Crist. Savannah Evans over Brittany Jade. Kushida over JDC, Trent Seven, Leon Slater, and Ace Austin in a number one contender match for the X Division Championship at Final Resolution. They announced Kushida versus Moose in an X Division title match for Turning Point. We had a no DQ knockouts title match. Masha Slamovic defeats Alicia Edwards with a pile driver, it says. Tasha, probably means the White Knight driver, says Tasha strikes after the match. Jordan makes the save. Jordan holds onto the belt as they look at each other, her and Masha. Eight-person tag team match where Kaz and the Northern Armory defeat Eric Young, Jonathan Gresham, and Macklin and Santana. It says Kaz hits Gresham with the CYS trophy of the Call Your Shot Gauntlet trophy. It says Moose cuts a promo talking about how he's a championship, and Hendry does not. Diener comes out and confronts Moose, but part of that was missed by the fans that were posting the spoilers. We had a TNA X Division Championship match where Moose defeats Diener. Tasha Steelz over Jordan Grace due to interference by Alicia Edwards. Grace and Masha, or Masha comes out for the save because Grace is getting beat down by Tasha Steelz and Alicia Edwards. We had the Rascals over Leon Slater and Laredo Kid. Sami Callihan and PCO over Hammerstone and Jake Something by disqualification. Another mysterious 23 promo like I was talking about for the last show, some sort of vignette. We had Rosemary over Zaya Brookside. It says Rosemary beats down Zaya after the match, and Jordan makes the save. Tag team match for the Hardys defeat the System by disqualification. Apparently, the Hardys got a massive reaction. System puts the Hardys through a table. Santino comes out and says it's going to be a tables match between them at Final Resolution. And we got Joe Hendry and Rhino over First Class. So those are TNA spoilers. And now I'm going to move into Ring of Honor spoilers, and we will get on out of here. So, timestamp for Ring of Honor. Alright, these are the Ring of Honor spoilers. I am reading them via cagematch.net, and these were taped on November... they're going to air on November 14th. They were taped on November 7th. And these, of course, will be on rhwrestling.com/honorclub. Got a non-title tag team match where Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara defeat Love Dug and TJ Crawford. Right, Griff Garrison and Preston Vance over Waves and Curls, the team of Jalen Braden and Trayvon Jordan. The Righteous team of Vincent and Dutch defeat Jimmy Diaz and Matt Raven. We had Katsuyori Shibata over Aaron Solo. Kevin Knight over Serpentico. Abaddon over Viva Van. The NJPW Strong Point title match where Gabe Kidd defeats Angelico. Of course, it's worth noting that Gabe Kidd is currently building a feud in New Japan against Kenny Omega, who looks like he's returning very soon. Shane Taylor Promotions team of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty over Beef and JD Drake. Shingo Takagi over Arya Davari. Commander over Josh Woods. ROH Women's World title on the line. Athena defends and retains over Layla Gray. And we had a four-way tag team match where the Undisputed Kingdom team of Mike Bennett and Matt Taven defeat the Gates of Agony team of Bishop Khan and Toliona, the Grizzled Young Veterans team of Zach Gibson and James Drake, and the Dark Order combination of Alex Reynolds and John Silver. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please use code FightTalk and IndependentWrestling.tv. And please watch the spotlight on Fightful Overbooked every single Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Always talk, you know, the world of wrestling, WWE, AEW, indies, whole bunch of different stuff. And we have interviews for y'all as well. Most recent interview we had was with Gerard Bonner and Brandon Benefield, who are two of the best independent wrestling commentators in the game, in my opinion. So please check that out and support those guys. And yeah, that's going to be it. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling and Skull Vikings.